Chagai Perig Beis, Pasigud Beis, time for the Vaher, time for the Bechina Klolis, or according to some, time for the prophetic parable. We ask the Kohanim to say Taira, saying, Yud Beis, Hein Yisah Ish Besar Kodesh Bechnaf Bigdo. If a man is carrying Besar Kodesh literally means holy meat, but in this case, we're talking about defiled, we're talking about tamei meat. So ritually defiled flesh, if you want to use the formal translation. So kodesh usually means something that is holy, that is kadosh. But in this case, kodesh can literally mean separated. So something was separated because it's tameh. Somebody carries tameh meat, but it's actually not tameh meat. It's a sheretz. It's a creepy crawly that became somehow trapped or gathered into a person's garment, into his robe, into his clothes, into his jacket. And then, v'noga bichnofo el halechem. If it touches while still wrapped in his garment, bread, ve'el hanozid, and stew, or a cooked food, pottage, they used to call it. So the idea here, the Mefarshim say, at least Rashi and Gemara Pesachim says, that the sheretz was wrapped in the corner of his cloak, and then the sheretz itself touches the bread, which then in turn touches the chalent. So that's Rashi's version of it. The el hayayin, and then the chalent touches the wine. The el shemen, and then the wine touches the oil. So one touched another, and we know when it comes to tumah, that there are, in a manner of speaking, generations. There are stages of tumah. So you have the av hatumah, you have the original source of tumah, which then renders the next thing a rishon. The rishon then renders the next thing it touches a sheni, and then a shlishi, and then a revi. So in this sequence of things, which is Rav's sequence in Gemara Pesachim, the av hatumah, the sheretz, touch the bread, which becomes a rishon, which touches the chalent, which becomes a sheni, the nazid, which touches the wine, which becomes a shlishi, which touches the oil, which becomes a revi. And the question was, is the oil still tameh as a revi? Shmuel says it's actually, there's a chamishi latuma concept over here, which is that the garment, the av hatuma, the sheretz, touched the garment, which touched the bread, which touched the chalent, which touched the wine, which touched the oil, and the green grass grows all around, and the green grass grows all around. And in any case, so then it's a chamishi of tuma in the way of all of this. So there we go. We touched all these things. So we're getting to the last level of tuma. Veschol ma'achol hayikdosh. Will the food, or touched any food, which can become tameh, which can become contaminated. So is it tameh or not? That's the question. So depending on what level we're talking about, revi or chamishi, did it become tameh, this last oil that we are talking about? Vayanu ha-kohanim vayomru lo. And the kohanim answered, and they said, nope. No, it's not, is what the kohanim answered. Because the wine touched the surface of the oil but didn't absorb any of it. There's no belia. So now we're getting into complicated things. Please seek out your local Mishnayos when we get to Seder Taharos in Mishnah Yomi. Plug. Yud Gimel Vayomer Chagai. And Chagai asked question number two. Not multiple choice. Show your work. Do not use ChatGPT. Im Yiga Temei Nefesh B'chol Eila Hayitma. If the contamination of a dead body, Tumas Mace, touched all of these, Hayitma, does it become Tame? Vayano Kahanim, Vayomru Yitma. And this time the Kohanim changed their answer because you have to answer C on every single question. The Kohanim are maybe they're getting a little nervous because they answered no, it's not Tame, and now they're answering yes, it is Tame, if it's Tumas Mace. So the same thing, where the tumah was not a sheretz this time, but the original source of the av hatumah is actually an avi avos hatumah, which is more than a keziah of a corpse, of a dead body. And then it touched the bread, and the bread touched the chalent, and the chalent touched the wine, and the wine touched the earl, touched the oil. So even according to Shmuel, there's not a chamishi l'tumah this time. This is a revi'i. In Rav's situation, this would be a shlishi, because the, sorry, we're getting a little carried away, but because the corpse is a abi avos hatoma, which is one level above a sheres, which is only an av hatoma, so Shmuel's five stages down would end with revi'i, a fourth level of tumah, and Rav's four levels of tumah would end with the shlishi, a third level of tumah, inclusive, ad ve'ad bechlal. Oh boy. And Chagai says, now we have a mashal. So we've learned a little bit of Tumah and Tahara. According to one Mefarshic approach, the Kohanim got the answers wrong, and that would be Rashi and others. According to Ibn Ezra, they got the answers right. According to one opinion, says Rabbi Mendel Hirsch, the priests knew quite well the difference between Kodesh and Chol in the discussion about Tumah, but he brings down the Rav opinion and the Rashi opinion. In the years of exile, they had forgotten the different higher degrees of Kedusha. Shlishi and Revi'i, third degree, fourth degree impurity. The closer anything is to the Heichal, the higher are the demands for purity and the more that can be infringed. Also, the questions of Darabanan laws would have been involved. And he said, Torah, what does the Torah have to say? So according to Shmuel, the Kohanim answered correctly. According to Rav, the Kohanim answered incorrectly. According to both, they are showing people what it means, how easily Tumah can spread. And that's really the deep down message. You know, you watch something on the internet, you do something that you're not supposed to do, and you figure, ah, but it spreads, it's contagious, it's COVID. Put a mask on. Try to be careful. Because Tumah spreads a lot easier than Tahara does.